All right, I think we're about ready to get started here. I think most people are seated. Welcome, Document Library fans. My name is Lincoln Damaris. I've been a program manager on the SharePoint team for about 10 years now, working in and around document libraries. And exciting day for me because this is definitely the first time I've had so much to say about document libraries that I got a whole session devoted to it. So very exciting day for me. I hope it'll be exciting for you as well. So, what are we talking about today? We're going to be focusing most of our time on modern document libraries. So I'm going to talk about what modern document libraries are from a high level. I'm going to give you just a ton of demos. I'm going to try to spend as much time as I can outside of PowerPoint and in the product playing around. It's going to be tons of fun. And for those of you, so who's actually used modern document libraries in the service? Hopefully a lot of hands, great. I'm gonna give kind of a brief timeline of how we rolled out and give you kind of a play-by-play of what happened this year and talk about the future as well. I'm gonna talk about modern and classic. So classic mode SharePoint, I'm gonna talk about how it lives in relation to modern, what our philosophy is around supporting it, and I'm going to dispel some rumors and talk about why Classic is still right for some people. Finally, we're going to talk about roadmap. I'm going to tell you how I, the product owner of document libraries, listens and evaluates feature ideas. We're going to deep dive on a couple of interesting topics around modern libraries. We're going to talk about customizability, and we're going to talk about required metadata. Then I'm going to give kind of a long list of things that are on the roadmap. And top of mind for us that aren't quite on the roadmap yet, but just share with you kind of how we see evolving the experience going forward. And I'm going to give you kind of a few sneak preview demos of stuff that's super fresh, not quite shipped yet, but will be shipping soon. Sound good? Sound like what you signed up for? That's right. Yes, excitement. Let's keep the energy up. I think lunch is beleaguering us a little bit. So. Let's talk about modern document libraries. So you've probably heard a lot of speakers talk about modern this, modern that. We've got modern pages, lists, team sites, and libraries. So modern UI is a response to a lot of demand we've been getting recently for updated, responsive, frankly modern experiences in the core of SharePoint. Let's face it, the SharePoint product has evolved pretty deliberately over the years, which is a good thing in a lot of ways. But when you look at, I guess, classic SharePoint UI in the service, it's maybe not quite as sexy as what people have come to expect out of software on the internet, consumerization of IT. People use cool stuff at home. They want cool stuff at work. And like the SharePoint UI layer was not really in a place where we could really innovate and rev features and ship things and implement suggestions as fast as we'd like. The developers in the room will understand when I say the UI layer was sort of tangled up with the back end. There wasn't a clean separation. It wasn't built using modern tools or techniques or frameworks. And so we looked at that situation and said, okay, we've got all this innovation we want to push out to SharePoint Online. What are we going to do? We're going to wipe the slate clean, and we're going to more or less start with scratch with modern document libraries. And we sort of on the journey to modernize core SharePoint, we started with document libraries because if you think that document libraries are the core of how people get work done in SharePoint, the data objectively says you're right. We look at our usage data, and fun fact for you, in the month of August, 83.9% of active SharePoint online users interacted with a document library at some point during that month. So people use SharePoint for a ton of different things, but document libraries are kind of the core of that. And most people who use SharePoint use document libraries. And that's why it was sort of the vanguard, one of the earliest entries to the kind of modern UI scene this year. And when I said we started from scratch, I was not entirely honest. We had a great files app already. We had this thing called OneDrive. And last year, you saw us align the user experience of OneDrive Consumer and OneDrive for Business, kind of aligning the fundamental UI patterns and interaction mechanisms between those two things. And If you've seen modern document libraries and you've seen OneDrive and OneDrive for Business, it's not going to shock you when I say that it's actually the same client-side app built using open source, modern techniques. We use things like Git and Gulp and CDN deployment. It's a great time to be alive. In fact, OneDrive and SharePoint are, OneDrive and SharePoint libraries are fundamentally the same app, and they share the same core set of features. And that's great because we have more eyes on the same problem. And cool things that we build one place trickle down and show up in the other place sort of automatically for us. During my demos, there's going to be a few times when I call that out you're seeing this feature here because of that shared code aspect. Very exciting. But just because the core application between OneDrive and SharePoint libraries are the same doesn't mean they're actually the same. It hurts my heart a little bit when somebody sees modern libraries and they say, oh, it's just OneDrive now. It's just files and folders. That actually couldn't be further from the truth. What's made SharePoint document libraries special has always been custom views, custom metadata, custom content types, structure and process to keep files working the way your business needs them to work. That's absolutely still the case with libraries, and I'm going to show you actually a lot of the core innovation is aligned with making that faster and simpler, and so more people can engage with that lightweight structure and collaboration. So with that, enough slides. Let's take a look. Let's see if I'm smart enough. Yes, great. We are live. So I'm going to focus on the tree of document libraries, but first I'm going to take you through the forest because it's important to understand kind of the hierarchy of objects here. I'm starting this journey the same way I start many in my daily life at SharePoint Home. SharePoint Home is the new SharePoint Sites page, and it's really tuned to help me get to the SharePoint sites that I work on a daily basis. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this because I know you've probably seen this before. This is a list of all my active, frequently active team sites. I'm going to open one of them. I'm going to open this loyalty program team site. So now we've scoped from my SharePoint universe down to a particular SharePoint galaxy for a particular team. And you see the homepage is focused on rolling up important content throughout this team site. You see if I scroll down, there's active objects within that team site, but I'm going to drill into one of the document libraries. And you know, kind of a theme that arises is the more things change, the more things stay the same. A team site is still a container of lists, libraries, pages, and apps. So I actually have multiple document libraries in this site. We're going to focus on this regional launch plans one. So let's just take kind of a quick tour of some of the UI fundamentals here. You see this header at the top keeps me in context with the group. You see I'm in the loyalty program group, this team site, and by extension, this document library is one of the objects inside that group. If I click the group, I can get quick links to other workloads, conversations, calendar, different objects that's part of the group collection of objects. You see a quick indication of who's in the group, quick link to group conversations, an indication of whether I'm following the site. So that group header is going to kind of follow you around as you navigate into different modern SharePoint experiences. You'll notice SharePoint diehards notice pretty quickly that, ooh, there's no browse tab or files tab. No ribbon in modern UI. Instead, we have this simple, flat, global, contextual command bar. And you see, I think this has come out in a couple of other demos, just like the ribbon was customizable. In fact, using the same mechanism, we can customize this as well. I have a custom action. I actually installed the DocuSign app from the store on this site, and that deploys a custom action that puts custom buttons in the command bar. That all carries through to the modern UI. Same goes for contextual commands. So the good old SharePoint mainstay, the call out here is still there. It's only there when you hover, but it's there so you can click that, or you can right click to bring up contextual commands in an item. This is extendable as well. You see I have the commands from the DocuSign app, showing up here as well. Classic SharePoint libraries have two search boxes on the page. We have one when I type a search. Typing on stage is always hard. It's going to show me recently active sites that match my search query. If I click see more results, that's gonna end up working like the find a file box did in classic SharePoint library. So it's gonna scope this search to my current view. I can then upscope that to search more if I'd like. So search is up here. Search is gonna be up here across most of our modern experiences, if not all, give you one place where you can always go to search. The view picker in OneDrive, this is how you switch between list and thumbnail view. Turns out you can do that in SharePoint as well too. We give you this cool, engaging, visually rich thumbnail view. This is also where you find your custom views that have been created by somebody in the library. We're gonna talk a lot more about custom views. I wanna drop one piece of knowledge here because this trips a lot of people up. I'm switching over really quick to Internet Explorer because if you're in Internet Explorer, this is where the good old mainstay view and file explorer is. So if you thought that modern document libraries did away with Explorer view, it actually didn't. It appears right here. As always, it only works in Internet Explorer because it relies on ActiveX. So it's evident from the thumbnail view. This is where we start to talk a little bit about how we're benefiting from shared tech with OneDrive. Thumbnail view is exemplifies that. I think you've also maybe seen the demo about how OneDrive is increasing support for different file types, like Adobe file types, images, etc. You see here in my document library, I have a Photoshop file. It's given me a rich preview. That's not doctored. That's actually a preview that we generated. And when I click that, it's going to bring up the kind of full screen preview. That's my Photoshop file, beautiful. PDFs also work great in modern libraries. You click it, you're gonna get a quick kind of static preview. It's gonna show you the metadata. I can scroll down, preview what's in my PDF. It's great because PDF is one of our most common file types. We now work even better than we have before with them. Photos are also great. There's a couple of different scenarios. Sometimes I just upload a photo to my library along with all of my other documents. You see that we have a great kind of photo preview experience. We've also borrowed some sort of experiences from OneDrive around viewing a collection of files. So I'm just gonna quickly navigate to another document library on my site. And I'm going to go to this product lineup folder. And this is actually a folder that's sort of filled with images. I'm going to switch to tile view. And quickly, if I have a folder in a library that's filled with a bunch of images, I can quickly hit left, right, or use these arrows to page through, view them all in kind of a, you know, something that you might expect in your own personal camera roll, right? Just go through and preview a bunch of pictures. Everyday usability and delight here. Okay, so we're going to go back to that regional launch plans library, and we're going to take a look at some other things here. So when we first launched modern libraries, some people had a problem with the information density. They said it was a little less dense than before, and they said, "Well, sometimes you're truncating file names, and I wish I had tools to better. I wish you could improve your information density a bit." And so we solved that by finally addressing one of the most long-standing customer requests we've had in libraries, which is just really simply the ability to resize columns. So I can click and drag, like just like that. Boom. And this is why it's so cool. I can stand up here and talk about open source and modern UI frameworks, and people go to sleep, and I go to sleep sometimes. But this is the kind of thing that starts to come alive once you give developers modern tools to work with. Of course, you can double-click to expand. It figures out how wide it should be, just like you'd expect in a tabular set of data. Another long-standing customer request that we finally have fulfilled. Guess what you can do? You can upload folders now. So I can take in my local computer, I have a folder and a file, drop that in, it's gonna expand that in, and it uploads the folder right there. It kind of disappeared from my view. Usually the files, when you upload them, they kind of float to the top, but I assure you, that did upload that folder. There it is. Great, thank you for clapping. So really excited that works in Chrome, and Edge, I believe. It doesn't work in Internet Explorer due to, it requires some support for some HTML5 methods. That's in OneDrive and it's in SharePoint. Super great to have kind of aligned fundamentals between those two apps. The other thing we did, if you're a big SharePoint nerd, for the longest time you've been able to go into our settings pages, you've been able to create views, and you've been able to group by columns. And we think group by is really cool, and I think we've shown that off in a few of the different demos. We like to use the word democratize. We've democratized that functionality by bringing it to the front. You don't have to go to a settings page anymore. You just click under a field, and you can group by anything you want dynamically in the view without entering a settings page. Very cool. So I've grouped by region here, and you can see, well, the files I just uploaded haven't been classified yet. Super common when you upload a couple files, you kind of right away need to tag those files, fill them out with the right metadata so they get organized into the library the right way and they're findable by others later. I think we've shown off a couple times now in various demos that you can just use drag and drop. So if I'm in this metadata-driven view, I can just select those two files. I can drop them to the grouping that corresponds to the metadata value that those items should inherit. So I've taken these items and I've placed them into the East region. And you can see if I pull open the details pane, you can see that metadata value, I might have to refresh. If I refresh, I see that metadata value actually takes hold. I don't remember which one I selected, so I'll just go to this one. You can see that when I drag an item into that region, it actually takes hold on the item and it's actually updating the metadata. It's not just placing it into a region on the screen. So this is a good time to talk about another important piece of UI in modern libraries, which is this details pane. So there's this I in the upper right-hand corner, or you could hit the I key on my keyboard. And that brings open the details pane. I can resize this too to give myself a little bit more room to work. So the details pane, the Office Online preview is still there. So if I have a PowerPoint slide or PowerPoint deck selected, I can quickly preview, see what's inside that. And this is where all my metadata is. So instead of having to open a full screen form, I can upload or I can update metadata very quickly from inside this pane. It's really fast, really simple. Click in here. Just a couple clicks, update a choice field. And this supports virtually all of our different field types. So I'm updating a person field. Even taxonomy gets to play. We've given taxonomy a bit of a facelift. So we have a modern taxonomy control in this details pane. We haven't left that feature behind. Any taxonomy fans in the audience? Yes. Yeah, come on, let's hear it for taxonomy. Yes. Thank you. When I say taxonomy, never be afraid to clap. So I can update taxonomy really quickly and easily, all from within the details pane. Really fast to kind of dance between a couple of different files here. Just click the details pane updates, and I can quickly use that kind of interaction mechanism to update a bunch of files at once. But there's more in the details pane. Properties are the first thing you see when there's customized properties, because SharePoint libraries, like I said, are all about the metadata. Recent activity is something else we're really fond of. In general, we're really fond of activity. We like to bubble up activity streams, and you saw the team site homepage had an activity feed because we think that activity is a strong indicator of relevance for a piece of content. And when you select a file, you can scroll down to activity and you can see, well, who's been active on that file and what have they done. I've been making a bunch of changes to this file, so we kind of group all of those activities under one header. I can collapse and expand, and I can kind of see the history of this file from when it was created. Chris McDonaldy created it. Valuable information for me. If I don't have a file selected, it's going to show you activity across that whole folder. So what's been going on in this folder? It's a sum aggregation of the activity of all the constituent files in that folder. Other things in the details pane, a sharing affordance, so you can see who the file has been shared with. This is a file in the group, so it's initially scoped to the members of my group. It's a public group, so it's shared with kind of a claim that maps to everybody in my organization. If I've shared this one-off with some different people, they will show up here as well. And that's the details pane in a nutshell. Great. Well, let's take a breath and pop back up to slides and just kind of recap what we saw. And we're going to go back and forth between slides and demos here just a little bit. So just recap high points from the demo. The core mechanics of working with files, shared UI with OneDrive. So we have thumbnails and list views. We have global and contextual commands in the command bar in the context menu, just like OneDrive. But they're customizable like SharePoint, and all the SharePoint functionality is there. Responsive UI. We didn't do a mobile demo here. I'm going to talk a little bit more like that in the next slide. We're investing deeply in everyday usability. So we're finally getting around to churning through some of those long-standing everyday delight requests. We got column resizing. We got folder upload. We got photos, Adobe files, rich previews, and group by without having to enter a settings page. And the details pane, very powerful surface. It's where you populate metadata. It's where you see required metadata, and we're gonna look at that demo a little bit later. We're gonna kind of deep dive on required metadata in a bit. And finally, that's where you go and see activity. Let's talk briefly about document libraries on the go, because there's a lot of cool stuff that I think have been shown at a few other sessions. So in the past, document libraries in the mobile browser, it's kind of been a different dialect of SharePoint. In 2013, or maybe it was 2010, we shipped these mobile views. And they looked okay on a phone, but they were really stripped down. You couldn't do much with them. And then a couple years ago, we released this thing. We released an update to those mobile views. Internally, we called it Touch App. But again, it was kind of a special dialect of the UI, and it was stripped down, and it didn't do everything that normal document libraries did. But it looked great on the phone and the tablet. Well, now all of our UI is fully responsive. So when you open a document library in your mobile browser, it's the same thing that you get in the desktop. And you can do virtually everything you could do on the desktop on your phone. There's a few things that we trim out because the UI just hasn't been updated yet. Like, I don't think you can set an alert in your mobile browser yet. But you absolutely can update the metadata. You couldn't do that in the mobile views before. You can pull open the details pane as you did before and right on your phone, update any piece of metadata in any document library. Very cool. But it's not just responsive web. We're also investing in native experiences for mobile device. So we talk about OneDrive as a file explorer for all of O365. I think we've been showing off the team sites. You get your list of team sites from within the OneDrive app. You can see your team site document libraries. Very cool. Same with the browser, OneDrive in the browser. You go to OneDrive, you can get to all your files. Very simple story. Install the OneDrive app, use SharePoint on the go. Very cool. Let's go back and do some more fun demos. Let's talk about views. So views are very cool. So the power of metadata is that it allows you to organize your files, slice and dice them just the way you want for the task that you're trying to accomplish. Someone in my library has created this status by region view. So I load that view, and it's actually going to group by a couple different fields. It's grouping by region and then status, publication status. And for those of you who have been with us from the beginning, we didn't initially have multiple levels of group by. We have it now. It's in the process of being rolled out, and you're seeing that here, two levels of group by. Hopefully that makes somebody happy. I think it makes a lot of people happy. There we go. Yes, sounds of jubilation coming from the audience. So once you're in a custom view, you can still sort and filter just like you've done in the past. So I'm doing work. I'm Lincoln, so I'm going to filter to documents that have been recently modified by me. And I see, well, okay, that file that I uploaded before hasn't been classified yet, so I'm going to stick that. I'm going to stick that under another group here. I'm going to classify that file. And, you know, I'm going to use this view to get work done. So I have a couple of files that were reviewed. They've since been approved. I can go and drag them from reviewed to approved. And right there, it's updating the metadata, and it's changing the status of my files along to the kind of just progressing them along the natural workflow that's been set up by the owner of this library. But maybe I want to change my view. I want to look at a kind of a different slice of data. I want to sort things a different way. Let's take a look at some of the new tools that we have to do that. So in the column headers bar, there's now this cool, handy plus. And I can use this plus and I can do a few things with it. I can create fields in this list. And I can create fields of a few different types. This is not the comprehensive list of SharePoint field types. Kind of the comprehensive list is still under more here. But for simple tasks, I can create a field right from here. I'm not actually going to do it, but just from my library, I can create a new field. It's actually really cool that you can now create a brand new library, customize the schema without ever having to go into a settings page. But for now, I have a bunch of columns in my library already. I don't want to create new ones. I want to customize this view. So there's this primary stakeholder column that's useful. I'm going to select it, and I'm going to unselect a few of these other fields. I'm going to move it up because I want to focus on this, and I'm going to hit apply. And what that's going to do is it's going to change the, right there, like you'd expect, I've changed the columns that are being displayed in my view again without ever having to go to a settings page. And then I can continue to customize. I want to sort by target launch date. And so now, and I also want to group by primary stakeholder. So now I have this great view in my library that's grouped. I can see for every stakeholder in my library, what are the files that are coming up? What's being launched soon? This is a handy view, and I want to come back to this time and time again because this is a useful view for me. And I can save that view. I'm going to go back to the view selector, and I'm going to click Save View. And I'm going to just call it Launch by Stakeholder. And right there, it's created a new view in my library, didn't have to go to a settings page. And now anybody that comes in is going to see that view in the view dropdown. Very cool. Today, this creates public views in the library. We're looking at reintroducing kind of private view functionality here. Personal views, I think, is actually what they're called. So anybody with managed views permission can do that. They can slice and dice, get their view the way they want to, click up here, click Save View, and now that's a view everybody in the library can use. So very cool. We hope that we're going to reach a lot more people with custom views with that. Before, you kind of had to have a PhD in SharePoint. Now it's super, super straightforward. But still, I'm kind of a SharePoint nerd. In order to get this view, I had to sort, I had to filter, I had to group. Sometimes you want something a little bit simpler. And for those cases, we've built a feature called pinning. So if you don't want to think about metadata and sorting and you just want certain files to appear at the top of your view because, darn it, those files are the most important ones, you can just right-click and pin to the top. And there you go. Now for this view, whenever someone comes into this view, this file is going to be right at the top of the list, regardless of what its metadata says or what the sort order on the view says. So pinning is really cool. Really great tool for featuring content that should be seen by everybody who comes into the library and loads a particular view. It's also worth noting that if you are a SharePoint geek, the old UI, the classic UI for managing views is still there. So I can look at that view that I just created here in the views list. I can go in and I can tweak it, change it around, add a second group by level, do anything I used to do in the old world. So if you're a pro at this old manage views page, you'll feel right at home. All that work that you do here will accrue to the modern experience. Great. So that is views in a nutshell. Let's pop back to slides and do a quick recap. So, high-level points, what we just saw out of views in modern libraries, really easy to customize schema, create new columns, show, hide, reorder right from the list view surface. save view, get the view the way that we want, click save view, and bam, the view is there for everybody who comes to the library. Like I said before, that enforces the existing manage view permission bit. And pinning, finally, our simplest, lightest weight feature for customizing a view, pin something to the top, and it'll stay at the top until you switch views or switch folders. Any contributor in the library can pin, so that actually doesn't require the ability to manage a view. Anybody who can create items can pin something. So we want that to be a tool for collaboration, something that a lot of people use in their daily work life. All right, we're going to do one more vignette of demos here, and we're going to talk a little bit about lifecycle. There's a light up here that's flashing, and it seems kind of angry. I might need some AV help. I don't think I can get back to my demo laptop anymore. Is there anybody here who can help me with AV? Well, while I wait for somebody to help me with AV, maybe we will talk about the recap slide. So this is what I'm going to show you once I have the ability to switch back to my demo laptop here. A lot of people ask, OneDrive and TeamSites, they look pretty similar now. When do I use what? When do I use TeamSites? When do I use OneDrive? And you know, the fact of the matter is you can use OneDrive to collaborate with a team of individuals. All the sharing capabilities are there. But it's about, we still think of OneDrive as the place for your personal files. So when a file is in OneDrive and it's shared with somebody else, the lifecycle, the fate of that file, and even the namespace of that file in the address bar is tied to the individual. So if I have a file that I own and a team should have access to it, I keep it in my OneDrive because it's my file. I could decide to delete that file. If I leave the company, that fate of that file is tied with me. And so it's my files that can be shared with teams as I see fit. SharePoint libraries are where team files go. When you create a team site, you get a path in the URL that corresponds to that team site. And the fate of all of the objects inside that team site are tied with that group of people. In the case of team sites and groups, it's tied to the fate of that Office 365 group. So it's not my files, it's our files. And despite a lot of the tools being the same between the two, that's how we see SharePoint and OneDrive. That's how we see those two products side by side. And I managed to freeze the AV system. My demos were so powerful that... We're gonna have to reboot this.
Yeah. But we'll give you 5 minutes at the end of the house now.
Well, this is fine. So we have to take 5 minutes because I shocked the AV system with the power of my demos. That AV system never thought it would be able to save views without entering a settings page. We might as well do 5 minutes of questions. So let's just do that. So be brave, race up to the microphone. I think this room is too big to do ad hoc. Let's do a little bit of question and answer.
Hello.
Hi. I don't even know where you are.
Way over here.
Okay, great. Hello. How's it going?
Good, thanks. The pin it. Is the pin it to the top per view or per library?
It is per view. So it's actually a little bit complicated. Let me dive into that. Good question. I can totally filibuster on this for 5 minutes. It's per view. So imagine you had a library without any folders in it, and you had three views. Every one of those three views has its own set of pinned items, okay? But then when you introduce folders, if you don't use views at all, and you have three folders in a library, each one of those folders has its own set of pinned items. Then you actually multiply those together. So every view folder combination has its own set of pinned items. And so if you have two views and three folders, you have
six
sets of pinned items, which is really granular. Some people tell us it's a little too granular, but we wanted to err on the side of power and flexibility, and that's how it works. If you have no views and no folders, you have one set of pinned items.
Okay, one other question about the group by two levels. Is there any intent to have it show expanded at level 1 but collapsed at level 2? Because that would be hugely beneficial.
That's a pretty cool idea. Yeah, we kind of make you say collapse or expand, and we apply that across both the levels. That's a great feature idea. I've heard that one before. I don't have a roadmap or a timeline, but I think that is smart and makes sense, and I like it. We have fixed the computer that I broke, but everybody's lined up and looks so excited. How about one more? And you guys should work out. If you're next in line, hopefully you get to be first in line when we do Q&A at the end. So go ahead, ask your question.
Okay. Have there been any changes to manage metadata in views when you go to filter by a manage metadata item, viewing just the items that are available in the view as opposed to the entire taxonomy? And have you guys done any thinking about all the democratization of views and document libraries? How is that going to affect content type hubs and kind of enterprise content types that are pushed down?
Awesome. First question, work to enable better taxonomy filtering depending on what's actually been used. At the very end, I'm going to show a feature we're working on that is aligned with that kind of way of thinking about it. Nothing that's imminent to ship, but yes, we're thinking about that. Second, with the democratization of structure and process within libraries, what's the fate of content type hubs? Content type hubs still work. We still support content types. We love content types. We don't have a clear roadmap for what's happening with content type publishing. But we still fully support it. We're probably going to end up focusing over the next year on more on how I, as a normal user coming into a library, can customize the file types that I have available while still supporting that kind of enterprise pushdown. But that's not fully baked yet. So no real clear plans on how we're evolving content type publishing beyond just, yes, we continue to support that as a first-class scenario. All right, great. I've been fixed. I've totally discombobulated myself. All right, yes, I was going to do demos. So I think I talked a little bit about the relation between OneDrive and Team Sites. I'm going to do a couple demos that exemplifies what I said. So I have a file. I'm in my OneDrive for Business, and I have a file that I think is useful for my team of individuals, the document library that I was showing you before. And I want to put this file in a place that those people will be able to discover. So I can bring open the familiar sharing dialog, and I can grab a sharing link to that file. And I'm going to restrict it to only people in my organization, because it's a fairly sensitive file. I copy that link, and I'm going to go back to my document library. Just for grins here, I'm just going to go back to the default view. And I think some of you have probably seen this demo before in some other sessions, but we have a new first-class object type in document libraries called link. So I can create a new link, and I can paste that in. I'll actually X out of that. You see that when I go new link, it gives me initially my list of recently modified documents, but I have something in my clipboard. Paste in that link. You see it's pulling the document title, and it's creating a .url in my library. But it still kind of looks and feels like a file. If I switch to thumbnail view and scroll down, here's the file that I just linked. This is still in my OneDrive, but it's being surfaced along with my other team files. We pull the thumbnail, so it looks great. You see this globe icon indicates, hey, yeah, this is a link. This is a file that lives elsewhere. But I can click it. I can open it just like any of the other files in my library. So you see this is still tied to Lincoln D. Contoso. It's still my file. But it's been made available, it's been shared, and placed in the file library for my team. Well, sometimes linking files between OneDrive and document libraries is cool, but sometimes I want to actually enact a transition of ownership. A lot of the time, I work on files in my personal environment, and then once we're ready, I sort of enact a change in ownership on that file, and I place it into the team site that I want. So we are working hard right now on the capabilities to do move and copy between OneDrive from OneDrive to team sites and between different team sites as well. I'm going to show the first kind of aspect of that work is I can go to any file in my OneDrive, I can click copy, And I want to actually place a copy of this file inside my team file space because I want the team to own this branch of the file. I want that off of my plate and onto the team's plate. So I've selected copy. My list of frequent sites shows up here, loyalty program. I've been partying in that site with you guys, so of course it's at the top. I can click that, and I can create a copy to that file. I can select any of the libraries or any of the folders in any of those libraries to copy the file to. So there we go. It's going to spin for a little bit, and voila, I have copied a file from my OneDrive to my team site. And that's a really long-standing request, something that a lot of people like. So hopefully that excites you. I heard a woo. Somewhere in there I heard a woo. Okay, I already got a chance to talk to this slide. So we all understand the relation of OneDrive to SharePoint libraries. So let's quickly talk brief history. So what's happened over the last year? And those of you who have been with us from the beginning, who have been in first release and have seen V1 of modern libraries, will empathize with a lot of what I'm going to say here. And let me first do a call out and start at the bottom of the slide. I'm co-presenting a session on Friday that's all about change management, how we ship bits fast in SharePoint Online without breaking things. I'm co-presenting that with somebody, and we're talking all up about change management in Office or in SharePoint Online. Really cool session if you care about change management. Talking about how we did it really briefly for modern libraries, and I'll just share a couple insights that we learned as we rolled this out, because this was one of the first vanguards of modern UI that we pushed to SharePoint Online, and so we learned some stuff. On April 6th, we rolled to first release. So if you're a first release customer, one day you logged on and you saw this banner at the top of the page, the cool paint roller. Document libraries are getting a new look. So any first release user could go and give it a try. And that was kind of an early sneak peek to modern libraries. We got a lot of feedback that was a little too loud. Placing a big banner at the top of classic UI was confusing for a lot of people. And so that's a pattern that we tried. We're glad we tried it, but we probably won't do something like that again. Between April and June, we were live in first release, and we listened closely, and we adjusted a few things based on the feedback. So one thing that we heard was, well, once I click that paint roller, I don't quite understand where I am or what happened or why it's different. So we built this sort of, we've got a new look, the middle picture there, getting started dialogue, kind of de rigueur, when you're kind of on the modern web and you're looking at a new experience. Pretty common to show a first run dialogue like that. We actually get remarkably good traffic on this dialogue. A lot of people sneer at those and say, well, everybody just closes out of it. Nobody looks at those things. They're actually really effective. And we had a lot of people, once we shipped that, to click through and say, oh, cool, I want to learn what's new. Tell me everything I should be taking a look at. So we're probably going to see us doing more of those as we continue to roll out modern UI, because they objectively perform well. V1 of modern libraries had some deficiencies in theming and global navigation. We fixed that. They didn't work with content type new button ordering. Getting into geeky, someone asked about content types. If you customize the content type new button order, we used to punt you back to classic. We don't do that anymore. And multi-level group by. So this list of six things were kind of indicative of the top feedback that we got from first release. And we adjusted and released that before we went beyond first release. During the month of July through September, we've been increasing in scope, and I think the whole world now has modern document libraries. So that's kind of a brief history. If you want to hear more about how we think about change management, come to my session on Friday. So we've been talking a lot about modern libraries. Let's talk a little bit about classic. Because there's been a little bit of confusion in the world about where classic libraries fit in our grand scheme of things. And let me just be very clear. I love modern libraries. A lot of people love modern libraries. They're great. But classic is still right for some organizations. And we've been a little wishy-washy about that, so I'm gonna give you the straight truth here on stage, no wishy-washiness. We acknowledge that classic is still right for some of you. And maybe that's for a couple of different reasons, depending on the organization. First, modern doesn't support the full list of features from classic. We'll look at a deep dive of those features. And so Certain environments take a dependency, for example, on metadata navigation. We don't support that in modern yet. And we're very okay with it if you decide to use Classic in this interim period. And we've really tried to build switches that give you control of how modern is exposed throughout your organization. Our top priority is not to push new UI, it's to keep you productive. So we've built a bunch of switches that help you configure and customize how modern is rolled out in your organization. At the tenant level, site collection level, web level, library level, and actually at a user session level, you can control whether you're seeing modern or classic. And the user session level is that in the lower left, you have this back to classic link that will take you back to classic for the rest of that browser session. And you can do that anytime you want, and user can do that anytime you want, and then the different switches and the different containers will take hold if the user just navigates to the library. And we did this thing, another thing that we did during our first release, that April through July period, is we built this auto-detect mechanism. So what we actually do is we look for a couple different types of customizations on libraries. And we actually say, well, should this library get modern or classic based on how it's been customized, configured? The default is modern, but if we see a library that has a couple different, few features that I'll detail later, we will automatically fall that library back to classic because we think, well, this library, people probably aren't going to be productive in this library in modern because it's been configured in this way that modern doesn't support. And so we auto-detect that and we fall back to keep people productive. I'm going to give you a quick demo of that. This demo's pretty cool, too. I hope I don't crash the AV system again. So I'm going to switch to Edge here because I'm logged in as an admin because I'm going to do some geeky things this time. So I'm in this same library. And I guess I'm superstitious now because I just refreshed for no reason. I'm going to go and are there any fans of the metadata navigation and filtering feature, metadata nav? Any fans of that feature here? Yes! That was one of my first features as a new PM, and it's a great one. So we're going to go back and we're going to take a look. You know that if you want to turn on metadata navigation and filtering, you have to activate this site feature. So I've activated the metadata navigation site feature. And don't worry if this is a little bit geeky. We'll get back to reality here. I'm going to go back to the library, and I'm actually going to configure metadata nav. So metadata nav is great for when you want, it places UI on the left-hand side of the screen that lets you browse and filter by metadata on your library in kind of a tree structure here. So I'm going to add some navigation hierarchies. I'm going to add some key filters without getting super editorial about how this stuff works. So I've configured metadata nav. Okay. Now what's going to happen when I go back to my library? Well, it's going to be a blast from the past because when I go back to that library, because of that auto-detect mechanism, I'm actually, SharePoint decided, hey, this library doesn't get to be modern anymore. This library is now classic because the library has been configured with this super awesome metadata navigation feature. So I can use these trees to browse, browse by clothing lines. I can use these key filters to filter down by modified created by. And this is a feature that only works in classic. And given it's been configured, we think, well, people probably need this feature to get work done, so we're going to keep you in classic. But like I said before, ultimately, we have that granular hierarchy of settings. So I can override that. I can say, well, that metadata nav is cool, but I want a taste of that modern. I can go to advanced settings in my document library. I can scroll down to the bottom here, and there's a new setting called List Experience. And you can see the default is do what the tenant says. And the tenant, by default, says, well, do this auto-detect thing and figure out if you should be modern or classic. I can override that. And I can just say, well, cool story, but I want the new experience. Once I make that setting, it's going to override everything else. I go back, and there's modern. Make sense? Is that cool? All right. I'm not going to spend too much time on this slide because it's a little text heavy, but this is kind of this is documented online. This is kind of our table of features that doesn't yet work in modern. The ribbon's not there. A few different ribbon buttons aren't there. A few different features from the view settings page don't work in modern. Metadata nav features, tree view, manage navigation doesn't work. You can kind of, I see people taking pictures. You can look up the slide. I'm not gonna go through the whole list here. What's really key is that last column. Like, we don't do the auto detect and fallback for every feature that we don't happen to support. We've just picked a few that we think are really key. Like, when these features have been configured, they're really key to the operation of this library. And so we elect to keep you in classic when they're there. The bottom row is probably the most interesting one. We'll spend more time talking about this. JS link and custom actions. If you've customized your library with those two things, we think, well, we're going to keep you in classic because we don't support those yet. That's coming. A lot of people are nervous about us removing classic mode. Let me just be very clear. We have no plans to remove classic mode. It's true that it's an aspiration. We want everybody to choose modern. We love modern. But as I said before, it's not quite there yet. Classic is still right for many organizations. And we have no plan to remove or deprecate classic. Aspirationally, we may someday. There's a lot of things that have to be true before we do that. But there's no plan as of yet. It will certainly, all right, I'm standing up here guaranteeing it will not happen in 2017. And who knows when it will happen after that. So if you depend on classic, don't worry, it's not going anywhere. Rest easy. What do we have to do before we even talk about getting rid of classic or deprecating classic? Well, we probably need feature sufficiency in modern. That big table needs to not be a big table anymore. Or there needs to be modern equivalents of features that we used to, of features from the classic world. And we're going to look at usage data. Like, we look very closely at what people do in classic compared to modern. And so we're going to look at that data, and we're going to see, well, a lot of people switch over to classic because they're using in-place records, disproportionately so. That's just an example. That's not necessarily true. We're going to look at that and say, well, okay, we're going to build modern in-place records, and we're going to put that in modern, and we're going to go through that cycle many, many, many times before classic goes anywhere. So let's talk a little bit about roadmap and top of mind for modern libraries. Just a couple words about how we prioritize feature ideas. First of all, we look at usage data. Like I just told you that example story about in-place records. We look a lot at what people are doing. We can't see your data, but we can see what you do. It's awesome. And that is hugely important to us as we evaluate different feature ideas and figure out what's the most impactful thing that we could build to increase engagement. We look at user voice. So you've seen the feedback button in the lower right of all of our modern pages. That takes you to an experience that allows you to post a user voice. We look at that all the time. It's sort of the number one way that you can record your support for a feature idea. We take that stuff very seriously. Support. I spend a lot of time talking with my support engineers. So if you call support with an issue, if you file a DCR, even if we reject that DCR, that is very important data for us that goes into our prioritization. So just know that we're very connected with support, and we listen to what they say. And you know, I'm sure some of you have had conversations with support. That stuff ends up getting to us, and we take it very seriously. And conversations with you. I love 2016. Like, I've engaged with a bunch of you on Yammer, on social media, on the Office 365 network. Like, we're getting better and better at having one-on-one conversations with people in our social networks. As product owner, I love that aspect of my job now. So keep engaging with us on Yammer, on the Office 365 network. That stuff is real. Those are conversations with the people that prioritize features. So keep doing it. Let's talk. So this is the slide for the developers in the audience. List and library customization. Probably the biggest piece of feedback that we get on modern libraries is that it's not super customizable. You used to be able to do all sorts of crazy things to the classic UI, run arbitrary code on the pages, customize the UI exactly the way that you want. And modern today doesn't really let you do much of that. custom actions, declarative custom actions, those that put commands in the command bar or the contextual menu, that works. But that's about the only thing that works right now. And I want to encourage you and say, yes, we're thinking very hard about how the SharePoint framework can enable a modern library and indeed modern UI customizations across the board. Modern SharePoint framework customizations will be better than the ones that you've used in the past. They'll follow clear context, they'll be governed, and they'll be robust as we evolve our experiences. And what I mean by that is, when we give you clear contracts about what you can customize on the page and how, when we go and change our UI, add new features, move things around, those customizations will still work. How many of you have, I don't know if how many developers are here, but how many of you have built a customization that then broke because we went and changed something around an SPO? One hand, his hand shot up light speed, a few others. Well, that's why we talk about clear contracts and why we love SharePoint framework and why we love talking about that as the way that we customize these new experiences. Top of mind scenarios. Custom field views, custom list views, what you used to do with JS Link. Custom file type handling, what you do with the file handler preview, and the ability to put additional web parts on the list view page, something you can't do yet. We're working on that. And we're also working on a document library web part that you can put on another page. We're working on better tenant-wide organizational branding and theming capabilities, and working on modern web part connections as well. So that's just a really quick view of how we're thinking about listen library customizations and the scenarios that we use to ground our thinking. All right, required metadata. We changed a little bit how required metadata works in modern libraries. And a lot of you noticed, and I'm really glad that a lot of you noticed. It's kind of like when you get a new haircut and you go to work and nobody notices it and you think, oh God, was this a really bad haircut? I wish somebody would say something. A lot of you have said things about our new required metadata behavior. And some of you love it, some of you love it a little bit less. Let me just talk about what that is. So Classic did this weird thing where if you had a library with required metadata and you uploaded a file and you didn't fill out all the metadata, that file would stay checked out to you. And when a file has never been checked in, you're the only person who could see it. So there's this article on the internet that's called SharePoint, The Case of the Missing Files, and it's like written like a ghost story. And you can tell it around the campfire, it's very scary. It's talking about this phenomenon of SharePoint files being uploaded and all sorts of support brigade having to come in because nobody else can see this file. I put it in SharePoint, nobody can see it. Well, it's because of this required metadata semantic. Well, a lot of people grew to like that way of doing things because it's kind of an enforcement mechanism for required metadata. It doesn't make you fill out fields, but it certainly inhibits your productivity if you don't fill them out. Modern did away with that. I don't think I have time to demo this, but in Modern, give it a try. If you have a required field in Modern, it doesn't check it out anymore. You add it, and the details pane slides open, and it gives you a red star, and it tells you what to do. But it doesn't do the checkout thing. It doesn't turn your file into a ghost. And I think what that ended up doing was it made required properties maybe a little too soft, and that's the feedback that we're hearing. You know, on the left hand, we hear people saying, thank you, this makes it a lot easier. This helps my adoption of SharePoint because it's not so opaque and it's not doing weird things with my files. But on the other hand, people are saying it's now harder to drive custom business processes. And that, when I hear someone say that, that stabs me right in the heart because that's what my product is all about. SharePoint libraries are all about custom business processes. So we're looking really hard at this change that we made and evaluating what we did. And I really want to ship better capabilities for handling required fields and libraries. And I think the shape of that, we don't know exactly what the shape of that is, but we're looking at better graph-driven views at the team site level, at the library level, that tell you what you need to take action on. And if you have a file that's missing metadata, maybe you should have a view that's telling you all the files that you're missing metadata on. As we extend that to different types of collaboration and workflow and flow and Power Apps and all that. So that's kind of where our heart is. This is just a quick kind of roadmap of some different things that we're looking at. let's see, I wonder which of these I want to actually talk to. Maybe I won't talk to this too much, and instead I'll just go and I'll let you drink this in for a second, and then we're going to demo a few of these things, and then I think we call it a day. Great. Well, let's do a final demo vignette here. For a second, I thought it was frozen again. That'd be kind of funny. All right, so in the theme of long-standing requests that we've had, I'm going to go back to my library here. Here it is. Something that people have asked us for is the ability to download multiple files. And we're finally delivering that. This is a feature that's not quite rolled out yet, but if you see I select multiple files here in my document library, you see this the contextual command surface is giving me a download option. Very exciting. I can click download, and it's going to use a microservice to build me a zip file of all those different files, and you can see it's downloaded it right to my computer. So download multiples here. A lot of people have asked for this. And when I said it's here, I mean it's here in my demo environment. It's not here yet, but it just worked really well. So it must be. It's getting close. We're working on shipping that. So I think a lot of people will be excited about that. Let's talk a little bit about. A gentleman asked. My second question was very cool because it kind of leads into this demo. He asked, well, remember that metadata navigation feature? The thing about that feature is it doesn't show you contextual filters based on what you're looking at. We're looking at a feature that we've kind of internally codenamed smart slicers. So you might have noticed, if you have a keen eye, this little filter icon up here. Your environment doesn't have this yet. This is a very early peek at this capability. So if I click this filter icon, it's actually going to use a few different heuristics to figure out what are useful filters based on what this person is trying to do and what they're currently looking at. And so it's giving me people filters that are depending on the slice of the files that I'm looking at. It's giving me a modified slider so I can drag and I can look at a different slice of files depending on how old, how far I want to go back. I can filter to Atom. I can filter to PowerPoint. And imagine this. This is a very early peak, so the thing that's not doesn't quite come out in the demo yet is how it's using kind of your context and the context of the view and the fields on the library to suggest, hey, you might want to filter by this. If you've used Amazon, Amazon's filters on the left-hand side respond to the type of product that you're searching for. This is the same idea here. So we're looking really hard at better, smarter filtering capabilities. Thanks. How many of you have seen a Flow demo during this conference so far? Flow? Oh, good, lots of you. Flow and Power Apps are coming to document libraries. So that includes a Flow button on the document library and the ability to embed Power Apps as views inside the document library. And flows are really transformative because they allow you to automate things that you had to do manually in the past. And actually, I said Flow and Power Apps are coming to document libraries. I'm talking about the buttons in the UI. You can actually do this today. Let me show you something you can use Flow for today. So no matter how cool we make document libraries, there's always going to be people who work on things their way. And when I say that, I mean email attachments. So how many of you deal with people who just use email attachments? No matter how much you try to get them on SharePoint, they're sending things via attachments. Let me see if I can load my mail inbox here. I've been in SharePoint. It's been so fast. I have to go over here. Let's see if I can do this. Well, this is my demo, so if things fall apart, it's totally cool. Well, while my inbox loads, let me switch over. So I'm going to go to flow.microsoft.com, and this is the place where I go to manage all the different flows I've created. So I've used this tool to create a simple flow that looks at emails that come into my inbox. And when I get an email that has been sent to this particular address. So this loyalty program at Contosa 2016G is the email address for my Office 365 group. So I'm going to say, okay, any email coming into this account, if it has attachments, then I want to actually save those attachments to my document library. So it's selecting the attachment, and it's going to copy that file to my SharePoint document library. And this is really simple. You just use the WYSIWYG tools to hook something like this up. You can do this today. You can, if you have a group where people are sending attachments, you can use this flow to kind of automate the movement of those attachments to the library. So maybe I can show you that now, because my inbox finally loaded. So I'm going to go to the loyalty program group, and I'm just going to create a quick conversation here. Hey guys, check this out. And I'm one of those stubborn people who just refuses to do anything but send email attachments. So I'm going to select that attachment. I'm going to attach as a copy because I like it old school. And I'm going to send that to my group. So it's going to be delivered to my group mailbox as a normal email with the attachment. But eventually that flow is going to kick in. You saw that the flow is saying, OK, save things to shared documents, mail attachments. So I'm going to go back to my team site. I'm going to go to that document library. And I'm going to look at that. I'll look at that. I'm in Classic. That's fine. Because of that metadata nav configuration I made earlier, I'm going to go to mail attachments. And it's cool because this doesn't actually depend, flow doesn't depend on Modern or Classic, so it's totally fine that we're in Classic. There we go. Here's the email attachment I just sent. It got copied over to my SharePoint library. And you might think, oh, well, it's still an email. People are going to use it like an attachment. But we are document libraries are a citizen of Team Site. So when you go to the Team Site homepage, you're actually going to see, boom, right at the top of Activity Feed, that's that email attachment that was just sent. So Flow helps me automate copying of mail attachments to SharePoint. And SharePoint, the Activity Feed picks up on that. That file is created just like any other file. And so by sending an email attachment, you're creating an activity on the homepage of your team site so other people can find that file without having to dig through copies and attachments. So that's super cool, super transformative. I love Flow. Give it a try. And that's all I got. That's my presentation. Thank you very much. Give us feedback. We love feedback. I have 7 minutes, so I think I have time for a couple more questions. And so who was second in line? Oh, wow, right on top of it. Was that over there?
I don't know if I was. I don't know what order I'm in, but I'll be quick.
It's fine. You were intrepid.
I love that you have the perennial feature of moving and copying files that has been in Windows forever in SharePoint.
Thank you.
The question is, do you get the version history and the metadata carried over when you move and copy?
Come up and talk to me. There's nuance there, and I actually have the person who can answer that most effectively in the audience with me, so come up here and we'll answer that for you. I'm shady on the details, and I don't want to say the wrong thing. Hi, Melissa. All right, pipe up.
To someone. Okay, I'll take it. Great presentation. Can you talk about why, when you use the get a link feature in the modern library, it breaks the document permission inheritance?
When you use get a link, it breaks the permission inheritance. I'm puzzled because I don't think it does.
It does.
It does? That's not what I would expect.
I agree.
That doesn't seem quite right, does it? Why should it do that? Well, if you'd like,
I'll talk to you about it after.
If you'd like, you can come up. I can give you my email address, and we can chat about that. And I can bring in people, and we can geek out about that. But you stumped me. Good job. I'm not very hard to stump.
I was wondering if you can still open and File Explorer from the document library, and if so, can you also do so in the other browsers outside of?
That was one of my early demos here. So when you're in IE, View and File Explorer shows up under the view picker, it's always been an IE-only feature. The difference is in Classic, it shows in all browsers, it's just grayed out. We don't gray things out as much anymore. We just trim them, and so it shows up in IE under the view picker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey. Here. Any changes to the list view threshold limit, that 5,000?
No, not yet. All of that is still the same, but we're looking closely at that right now. I think that was in my big roadmap slide. Like, we're looking very hard at large list scenarios, and I can't commit to any timeline or solutions, but that is one of the top things that we're looking at right now.
Okay. One more question. Any changes to the quick edit?
No. You saw there's a quick edit button at the top now that brings up kind of the old quick edit functionality. We sort of actually iframe that in to the modern page, and so it's there, but we haven't made any significant changes to it. We'd like to natively support quick edit in modern. That's another thing that we're looking closely at, but no, it's not changed yet.
Okay. Thank you.
We've noticed that when we have a document set that's in a library that's using the modern UI, we get an error message. I saw that it was on your roadmap, but is there any plans to set that as a feature that would default it automatically back to classic mode?
Document sets should be working. Well, they do work in modern UI. Well, let me be nuanced. When you have a document set in a modern library, when you enter that document set, we load the old classic document set page. The thing I had in my roadmap was we want to modernize that page. We want to take document sets on the modernization journey that we took lists and libraries on. You're hitting a bug. Document sets should not be erroring out, and I'm sorry you're hitting that bug. I would call support.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Maybe a couple more here, and then I'll be kind of standing over there and we can chat. But yeah, a couple more mic'd questions. Why not?
Okay. If you're using the SharePoint document ID feature, does that integrate at all with the new link sharing or get a link functionality?
When you have a document ID configured, I believe we shine that document ID through to that sharing dialog. Have you tried it? We were talking about this, and I don't remember if it got done or not, but what we want is it to be an option in this, like you're picking what kind of link you get. But I don't remember if we got that done or not yet. The intent is that document ID, it works in modern, it's still accessible, and so we do support that feature still. We should give that a try.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right, one more.
One question.
All right.
What is the DocuSign I've seen before?
Oh, that's just an app. DocuSign is a partner. They have an app on the App Store that puts functionality in the toolbar. We've installed that app in our demo environments just to show that, hey, it's customizable. You can, the custom buttons, the custom apps still work.
I thought it's part of
UI. No, it's an app.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. All right, thank you very much. I'll be over here.